Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. The Zika virus is in Baltimore. 31 cases have been confirmed in the city. We can looking at this kind of around. You just heard the news report a moment ago from here from WEAA that the CDC has run out of money and the president is asking for more money. We're going to wrestle with what this means in the first part of our program and come back to this in a longer segment in the coming weeks. Sonia Shah is with us. She's a science journalist and author of the book Pandemic: Tracking Contagions from Cholera to Ebola and Beyond. And we look forward to having her on just to talk about that book very soon. Sonia, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Monica MacArthur is assistant professor in pediatrics in the department at the University of Maryland School of Medicine Center for Vaccine Development. And Dr. Monica MacArthur, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. You can email us at talk@steinershow.org, tweet us at Mark Steiner, log on to our Facebook pages, but 410-319-8888. Sonia, let me start a bit. I've been reading a bunch of your writing, and I really do look forward to having you on for your book. Talk a bit about the history of Zika in terms of how it exploded across the world and the roots of it. I think are really important in terms of how we can even think about dealing with it.
Right. So Zika is sort of just the latest in a crop of new pathogens that have emerged and have reemerged into new places where they've never been seen before. So before we had Zika, of course, we had Ebola breaking out in West Africa. It never had been seen there before. We've had new kinds of avian influenzas, new kinds of tick-borne illnesses, highly antibiotic-resistant bacterial pathogens. And, you know, there's a reason for this, right? The world is changing in ways that are allowing these pathogens, many of which emerge out of wildlife. About 60% of these new pathogens are coming out of animals, 70% of those out of wild animals. And Zika is a great example of that. You know, it probably emerged out of monkeys somewhere in the equatorial forests of Africa. It was probably there at least for 100 years, maybe more. You know, it depends on, you know, that part of it hasn't. The origins are a little bit hazy, but we've known about it at least since the 1940s. And genetic evidence suggests it, you know, may have been present for even, you know, decades before that. But it didn't really cause a lot of disease in its original location because the mosquitoes that carried it bit not just humans, but mostly bit monkeys and other animals. And these were places that are not that densely populated. So it was only when Zika was able to reach the Americas, you know, just recently, deposited into Brazil and places that have had massive amounts of urban expansion. You know, huge slums have grown up. A lot of cities have become bigger and bigger in parts of the tropical world in the Americas, that it's been able to really explode and amplify, and we've been able to see all of these, you know, side effects and complications that Zika infection actually causes.
So with urbanization, and as you describe in one of your pieces, that it went from, came out of Africa to Malaysia, to the Philippines, Micronesia, French Polynesia, and may have come to Brazil via plane with visiting athletes. That's a possibility where it, and then exploded into another species of mosquito that loves to live in urban areas, and that allowed it to explode across Brazil. That's one of the things,
right?
Right.
So it's now being carried in, you know, Latin America and Puerto Rico and elsewhere, in Florida, by Aedes aegypti, a different kind of mosquito that, you know, is the same genus of the old mosquito, but this is a mosquito species that only bites humans. It specializes in biting humans. So as soon as Zika got into a mosquito like that, it sort of hit the jackpot.
So Dr. Monica MacArthur, I'm glad you're with us. So talk a bit about what you all then are wrestling with in terms of how to confront the reality that it's among us now.
Right. So, you know, the main problem with Zika, there's, you know, most people, 20-25% of people infected will have mild symptoms, not really, you know, a mild febrile illness that's not readily distinguishable from other viral illnesses, but the main problem is when pregnant women are infected and the intrauterine infection causes severe neurologic deformities in infants born to these mothers. And so that's really what we're most wrestling with right now. Currently, there's no effective therapeutic against Zika. There's no vaccine licensed against Zika. Obviously, many groups are working both on therapeutics and also on vaccines, but a lot more information is needed before we can have effective therapies.
Well, what do you mean by information?
Well, so this is, you know, not a new virus, but there's not been a lot of studies done up until the last couple of years looking at some of the basic things about how this virus causes these neurologic defects. There's, you know, new information coming out all the time. We also are still learning about how this virus can be transmitted. You know, sexual transmission is relatively newly described, and how long after infection the virus can be transmitted. Things like that are still being studied, and we need more information before we can really fully understand how this virus is going to impact.
So let me get down some brass tacks here a bit and just get your thoughts on this. And go to Sonia Shah and then back to Dr. Monica MacArthur. When we hear in the news report, just before we went on the air with this conversation, that the CDC has run out of money for Zika, that there's this political battle over the money. What is it? What do you think in terms of what your research has showed you, Sonia Shah, over the years? What does it take in terms of an investment for America to really address the issue that we may be facing?
Well, I think the main sort of way we deal with outbreaks of disease is kind of after the fact. So we wait until epidemics erupt, and then we kind of rush around and try to come up with a plan to contain it. And what we're not doing enough of is prevention. Because with a lot of these new pathogens like Zika, we don't have any drug available right away. We don't have any vaccine available right away. So you really, to contain it, you have to work on prevention first. Because we won't have the tools available to contain it until it's really too late. You know, we make it a vaccine, even if it's in a couple of years from now, most people who are going to be exposed to Zika are already going to be exposed. You know, that's already happened in South America, and we've seen the effects. So what we need to look at is sort of the root causes. And if you look at something like these mosquito-borne illnesses, you know, it's related to poverty and vacant homes and the housing crisis and all these kind of systemic problems that allow mosquitoes to breed near where people live. You know, we have uncollected garbage, you know, homes that are not being looked after. So there's all kinds of mosquito breeding grounds around them. Nobody's looking at, you know, nobody's emptying those containers of water out. Nobody's even home to let mosquito inspectors in necessarily. So those are kind of systemic problems that we need to address.
Continuing on that, I mean, from your perspective as a scientist and researcher, Dr. MacArthur, what will this take when we're talking that we're out of money to do the research?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more that prevention is really going to be key. And I do think that controlling the mosquito populations is a major component. But I also think that the development of safe and effective vaccines is really a critical piece of that. And the vaccine development is not a fast or cheap process. There's a lot of basic science research that goes into the development, the preclinical development of a vaccine, and then the clinical trials to ensure that the vaccine is safe and produces good immune responses, and then further clinical trials to make sure that it's actually effective. And so there's a real need for funding to support everything from basic science research all the way through the clinical trials.
So when we... Let me take a step back here. I think one of the things we hear a great deal about is the danger to women who are pregnant. Let me turn back to Dr. MacArthur before we go back to Sonia Shah to kind of talk a bit about what it is that has to be in place before we have a vaccine, knowing the kind of political, economic, social roots of these pandemics, which I want to come back to talk to Sonia about. But what preventative measures to communities like Baltimore and the communities around the country have to begin to take?
Well, in the absence of a vaccine, the best preventative measure is to avoid the bite of infected mosquitoes. So fortunately, here in Maryland, there haven't been any cases of local transmission. All of the cases have been travel-related. That said, that doesn't mean that someone who is infected elsewhere couldn't be bitten by a mosquito that then bites another person and, you know, local cases occur like what's happening in Florida. We don't really have Aedes aegypti here in Baltimore so much. But we do have Aedes albopictus, which is another mosquito that can transmit Zika virus. You know, so the best thing is just to protect yourself from mosquito bites. That can include wearing long sleeves and long pants, staying indoors. When possible, using air conditioning, make sure you have well-fitting screens on the windows, doing things like eliminating sources of standing water and things like that.
So and just to be clear, it's transmitted because a mosquito can bite somebody who is infected and then bites somebody else who then becomes infected, right?
Correct.
Right. So Sonia Shaw, when I think about that, the first thing that popped in my head hearing Dr. Monica MacArthur describe this, when you talk about air conditioning and screens and standing water, it goes clear to the point of why it seems to can affect people who live in poverty, which, like in the city of Baltimore, where half the people in the city live in poverty, where there are no screens or no air conditioning in homes. I mean, this is why if it becomes a pandemic, that's where it starts.
Absolutely. I mean, impoverished neighborhoods are especially at risk. And it's people's exposure to mosquitoes is greater. But there's also just more mosquito breeding sites around, especially for these Aedes albopictus and Aedes aegypti mosquitoes that can breed in very small bodies of water. So if you just have, uncollected trash around your home, and it rains a little bit, and you have a tiny bit of standing water in a styrofoam cup, that's enough water for these disease-carrying mosquitoes to breed in, and they're right next to your home. So, unless we clean that up, and that takes more than just people tipping over, a container of water in their garden. It's really something that the whole community has to be involved in our civic services, et cetera.
So what does that mean strategically? I mean, what would you advise the city to be doing strategically, Dr. MacArthur?
I think at this point, community involvement and community education, so really, getting the communities involved in eliminating the breeding sites for mosquitoes. Some spraying for mosquitoes that transmit the virus can be helpful, but again, because, like Sonia was saying, these mosquitoes breed in very small, peri-domestic areas, spraying isn't always effective.
When you look at this in the way you have been looking at this, Sonia Shaw, in terms of our history of pandemics in this world, where they come from, what can be expected in the future. I mean, and I think that's really important. I mean, there's obviously the issues that scientists and medical people have to deal with, health professionals deal with, in terms of prevention and in terms of battling what comes at us in the best way they can, and they're doing very serious work. But the other is what it means to understand the root of this in terms of what has created this. What does that take us in terms of how you address it? So I'm saying, I mean, I see some of the analysis you wrote about where it comes from, but what does that take us in terms of strategically thinking societally about what we have to do?
I mean, we've done this before, right? If you look at our history of public health in this country, say a couple hundred years ago, we had yellow fever outbreaks, we had cholera outbreaks, we had malaria in this country. We solved all those problems well before we had the perfect drug, the perfect vaccine. And the way we did that is by sanitation and changing the way we live. So we developed clean water supplies, we developed a sewage system, we developed a way to build our houses that protected us from a lot of these pathogens and vectors. So that's something we have done already. And I think we just need a new era of that. We stopped thinking about public health as something that we need to build into society, and we started thinking about it as more, let the epidemics come, and then we'll come up with a drug or vaccine after it happens. And that can work for some things, but that's not going to work for these new diseases that are coming up. And the new diseases are coming up because of a lot of sort of interlocking drivers. We're invading wildlife habitat around the world, and that's allowing pathogens that live in animals to cross over into people. And then we fly around the planet and we introduce those into susceptible populations in all different parts of the world. And we're urbanizing really rapidly, so we have these giant crowds of people living close together. It provides a great opportunity for these new pathogens to explode. And we've seen this with Zika, or we saw this with Ebola. We've seen this with a lot of other pathogens that have come up. And this won't be the end. So what we need is a new way of thinking about public health that isn't just about get the drug, get the vaccine, as important as that is as well, we also need to think about, as a society, you know, what are the ways in which we are vulnerable to these pathogens? And it's things like, you know, poverty and housing problems and, you know, sanitation and injustices of all different kinds. So it's really, you know, it's something that we have to look at in a much sort of greater context, I think, than leaving it up to the doctors and the clinicians to kind of pick up the pieces after the fact.
So, and I'm curious then, from your perspective, Dr. Monica MacArthur, when you sit around with your fellow physicians and researchers, I mean, how does this part of the discussion affect your thinking and your perspective, and what you think has to be done?
Well, I think I would say that we definitely feel like this has to be a multidisciplinary approach. So, you know, as Sonia was saying, a vaccine in and of itself, first of all, it takes a long time to develop, and even still, it's not going to be, you know, there's issues of getting it to the right populations and things like this. So it's not the final fix. And so I think really working as a multidisciplinary team that includes public health, officials, epidemiologists, vector control, all of those things really are necessary to combat problems like Zika.
So we're going to come back to this over the coming weeks as we see how it grows in Maryland, but also just to look at this. And we will be asking Sonia Shah to join us sometime in the next month to really talk about her book, Pandemic, Tracking Contagions from Cholera to Ebola and Beyond. From what I've read, it's an incredible piece of work, and we want to hear much more about that. And I do want to thank both of our guests for taking their time with us today. Dr. Monica MacArthur is assistant professor in the Pediatrics Department at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, Center for Vaccine Development, and Sonia Shah, science journalist and author of the book, as I said, Pandemic, Tracking Contagions from Cholera to Ebola and Beyond. Thank you both so much for taking your time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you both back. We're going to take a very short break. It's time for the City Paper Conversation, see what's happening in this week's issue. Very special piece as we talk to Fred Sharman, professor here of architecture at Morgan State University. Don't go away.